All right, so welcome again to Course in Miracles, and we are such a rich we're doing such a rich thing. We've taken a pause from the text where we're midsection in the text, and it's starting to call for a little more awareness. And so I thought, what an opportunity to run and go see what does awareness look like? What is awareness of you know, truth or God, what's the awakened or right mind here look like? What does the right mind here look like? No need for you to think about the right mind anywhere else, of course. So in this Manual for Teachers section, it has these 10 characteristics of the teachers of God. The teachers of God are people who are now devoted to their right mind. If discovered, if you're a teacher of God, if you have discovered that your right mind is a choice and you prefer it. Teacher of God, if you've done the workbook, is one of the attributes or the qualifications for a teacher of God, is you've done the workbook. Not that you have to do it in the Course in Miracles, but the Course in Miracles would be kind of the shortcut that way. But you've done the work of the workbook, one way or the other. And you've discovered that the ego approach to living here is valueless. It doesn't work. It does not bring what you are seeking. You do not have a choice whether or not you are a seeker. This is not optional. You are way too far committed to the program that you're running to not be a seeker, to not return to truth and do it with a passion once you take a taste. This is you. Teacher of God is spelled out for us as a guide in the Manual for Teachers. How generous. A guide? So you can recognize the direction and of the choices for the right mind. Wouldn't that be great? If you had a guide to the choices for your right mind? The habit that you're overcoming are choices for the wrong mind. You know this already. It's probably brought you right to this meeting in one way or another. And now the choices for the right mind are having you stay in this meeting and with A Course in Miracles. Because you say yes. You said yes. Another beautiful word that I think is very underrated is the word yes. An honest, free yes. It's a very beautiful thing. So tonight we're gonna study a bit of what A Course in Miracles means by defenselessness. The value or the guidance in your right thinking that would have you celebrate defenselessness. The principle that word connotes is a backbone of A Course in Miracles, by the way. It is, you know, both descriptive of what you're doing with your right mind, and it's also prescriptive of, like I say, choosing your right mind. But how do you do it? What direction would you take living your life day to day so that you can have the freedom that's promised in this book. Defenselessness. I like it. It's this this word, Course in Miracles, I think it made up. I don't know if that's a word in dictionary. I don't think it is. I don't think when it says guiltlessness either, I don't think it's in the dictionary. I think it's Jesus saying, well, it's the state of the topic doesn't even exist. You're without defense. No defense is needed or possible or even considered. Guiltlessness would be the same, where guilt is not possible, needed, or even considered. Guiltlessness. What a freeing way to structure these veils. Guilt would be the whole idea of guilt or fear, shame. Any of these ego contractions could be considered veils. The veil that Course in Miracles says seems so real to you, but then when you go press on it with the help of the Holy Spirit, it's not there. It disappears. The minute you actually decide to have faith that you could go through one of these barriers like guilt or shame or doubt or even death. Even, you know, things more immediate. As well, there is artifices that disappear when you actually look at them. You actually go and try to witness them. They're not there. So that's what we're talking about tonight, is defenselessness. Okay, so let's dig in. See if we can get through this section together. Okay, Luann, everybody go to page 14 in your manual for teachers. I'm resisting showing you all my pictures from my trip because I went to a truck museum.
You showed us a bunch of those last week.
I did already? Okay, good.
Yeah.
Can you believe this old man with 400 trucks? And he just wanted to collect them and pile them up in his buildings. He kept building bigger buildings, and he started connecting the buildings that he built. And his trucks would line up in the connections between the buildings. The trucks were still lined up too deep.
Defenselessness.
Yes, would you read that for us?
God's teachers have learned how to be simple. They have no dreams that need defense against the truth. They do not try to make themselves. They do not try to make themselves.
Weird sentence, huh?
Yeah. Their joy comes from their understanding who created them. And does what God created need defense? No one can become an advanced teacher of God until he fully understands that defenses are but foolish guardians of mad illusions. The more grotesque the dream, the fiercer and more powerful its defenses seem to be. Yet when the teacher of God finally agrees to look past them, he finds that nothing was there. Slowly, at first, he lets himself be deceived, but he learns faster as his trust increases. It is not danger that comes when defenses are laid down. It is safety. It is peace. It is joy. And it is God.
Wow. That's kind of like a promise, isn't it?
Yeah.
Or this is leading.
We've discussed this many, many times in different ways. Yeah. I just want to say from a psychological point of view,
mm-hmm.
You told me one time that we come into this earth with some characteristics left over or some issues left over to work on. And then it just grows as we, in my mind, it grows as we develop our own ego system.
Yeah, you come in as an ego. That's correct.
And as you develop it more and more until you get to a point where you're sick of it, like I was of mine, because it wasn't giving me what I really wanted, then you start wanting to know what to do to get rid of it. And I think that's what defenselessness is all about. It's almost like it's first when you start this. And what we've always said is, would you be rather be right or be peaceful? And that just seems so true to me.
Mm-hmm.
All my defenses fall if I decide I'm going to be peaceful, because there's nothing I can say to defend.
Yeah, this is the teacher of God spends a little bit of time actually affording peace, a couple holy instances, a little time with the Holy Spirit, and you shift. You have an awakening. You have an awakening to a self that is invisible. This expanding of your possibilities makes it so that when you do things like attack could only be of the smaller self that you thought you were before exclusively. Your material self, your body self, your ego. And you can't go back to fully being an ego. And so defenselessness, it would be the opposite of the ability to attack, you bet. Ross, what do you got?
Oh, well, I was just thinking about, I was thinking of asking, what are the top five things we defend against? And then I started thinking, well, it's probably like individuality. We're defending our specialness. We're defending our body. Anybody else? What are the top five? What are the top things, top five that we are defending?
And that's
synonymous with attacking, right?
Right, right. Attacking, yeah, self-esteem. What do you got, Tim?
Your self-image, the ideas that you hold in your mind about what you think you are, as opposed to what you actually are.
Mm-hmm.
And you would defend against the truth of what you actually are ferociously until, like, you get to, Luann said, you get to a point, you say, show me the way out of this.
Mm-hmm.
And then and only then do you get the way, you get a different decision maker doing the choices for you. So yeah, you defend your self-image, the image that you've created.
The Course talks about the authority problem. You defend your authorship. Hey, that's me. I did that. I made that. In fact, before Course in Miracles, you might have even felt really proud of saying, everything I've ever done or ever said has made me the person I am today.
Right. If you had asked me, I would have told you when I was a much younger man, it's absolutely insane for you to insist that I made up the world that I perceive myself living within. It's crazy to think that I could have imagined this much detail.
Mm-hmm.
No way. That by itself would have, I would have ended the discussion right there. There's just no way I can imagine myself making all of this up. I can't be the author of all this.
Yeah, well, not as
not there's too much to it. How could I have imagined,
dinosaurs?
And I would have stopped listening.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, when you think about it from an egoic point of view, who else made what's going on for me?
Oh, well, the world is external to myself. I'm just a tiny flea within it. I'm a spark that's temporarily here and quickly gone. But I didn't make this world.
Yeah.
It's completely separate from me. The moon doesn't depend on my looking at it to be there.
But on the other hand, how I think about the moon is how I think about the moon.
And you can build an entire ego story around it. And
my
when
ego
you
story
get lost.
Exactly.
You get
my
lost
story around everything
story.
Is my story.
Yep, you get lost in your story and you start to become the author of your own, of your nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
May I suggest, very humbly, hear what I'm saying as opposed to, showing me.
No, I am hearing what you're saying.
Yeah.
I'm hearing that you can't believe that you made the moon.
That's a hearing of what I said.
But on the other hand, your
idea is not a hearing of what I said.
Well, I don't care.
Well, I want to understand.
That's the crux of it. I don't care.
Yes.
And
yes.
That's what I was feeling when you didn't listen to me, was that I don't care. The meaning of what you were actually saying quickly dissipated. It never even fully made it from this side of my head to this side.
Yeah.
And it was gone. And that's my fault, not yours. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, you decided to attack here.
Yeah,
this is great. Tim, you attacked yourself by thinking Luann didn't care as if it mattered. She went on to something else she cares about, leveraging off what you said.
And then it ratchets.
Yes. And then you get to defend what you said as a different point and worthy of discussion. And you didn't want to be misinterpreted that what you were saying is what she was saying. Which is, you know, that's the way this world operates. And I think it's really interesting and it's kind of fun. If you're not defending yourself around it, it is fun. And I think what you said, Tim, is the beginning of a spiritual awakening. I can't possibly make the moon. What? No. Complete and perfect rejection.
Yeah. I'm in good company. Einstein said the same thing. You're going to tell me I stop looking at it, it goes away? He had a lot of trouble with that. Niels Bohr said, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
That's right. And so with that kind of obviousness of your witnessing, you can follow that and start to say, well, what am I? That didn't make even my own fingernails. I can't make them grow. I can't make them stop growing. They just grow. I love the soberness of that. Looking at, you know, witnessing the magical wonder, let's call it, of this, place here, of course, calls it the world where you find yourself. Absolutely fantastic. Not a mistake. The only mistake is that this is only what you are. That's the only mistake we're to heal. You don't have to disregard everything that of the world. You can keep it as long as you want it. You little character, need to look at that. This littleness has become everything to you. This littleness, this ego, this little locus of consciousness has become everything to you. That's all. That's all. We just need a correction on that. And then you can resume on your creative adventure. That's what we're doing with A Course in Miracles, to help ease us away from the addiction of the separate existence. Individuated existence, fine. As long as you like it, fine. Go for it. Double up, double down. Can't do harm. Separated existence leads you to misery and a lack of love, and you won't tolerate it. It's too tiring and chaotic, and your heart is growing as you start to hear the call for home. A little spiritual awakening has happened in each of all of us. And that ancient song must be, you're starting to pursue that ancient melody that you're starting to hear once again. Like your favorite tune that you loved so much. And you just a few notes brings you right back there. This should be happening in your meditations. That sometimes you get a little sweet moment. Out of time, and just a little breath of that spiritual air. It's like hearing the note of your favorite song from childhood, maybe you forgot, but it's her absolute favorite. You can't wait to return to that full melody where you just have to stand up and dance to it. This is the return that you're on. So, defenselessness. So first up, God's teachers have learned what? What have God's teachers learned in opposition to what the ego learns? God's teachers have learned how to be simple. Period. How do you like that? Does anybody here have the third edition with the psychotherapy pamphlet in the back of it? Anybody have that? You have it, Tim? Tim, would you open that up? And you just read it for us. I have a little note in my book, and rather than me digging out the pamphlet, I'm just going to have you find this thing and read it for us.
Starting with the introduction or just the purpose of psychotherapy?
Yeah, well, very good. Go to the purpose, process, and practice psychotherapy pamphlet, or if you have that, or the section in the back of your book. Go to page 12, which is also section 5 in the psychotherapy, and then paragraph 1.
The one that's called the definition of healing?
Should be it. You got it, Lynn? You can go ahead and read it.
The definition of healing. The process of psychotherapy, then, can be defined simply as forgiveness. For no healing can be anything else. The unforgiving are sick because believing they are unforgiven. The hanging on to guilt, it's hugging close and sheltering. It's loving protection and alert defense. All this is but the grim refusal to forgive. God may not enter here, the sick repeat over and over while they mourn their loss and yet rejoice in it. Healing occurs as the patient begins to hear the dirge he sings and questions its validity. Until he hears, if he cannot understand that, it is he who sings it to himself. To hear it is the first step in recovery. To question it must become his choice.
I'm not sure that's the same citation that I meant to note down.
Okay.
But thank you very much for a quality reading. That's very much appreciated.
Well, there's an ideal patient-therapist relationship. I don't think you want that one.
Well, yeah, the word defense is in there, too. You have to drop your defenses, but still, even so, I think it's just a coincidence. There's another section, a couple paragraphs in the workbook on page 254. Go to workbook, page 254.
136.
That's no. Correct. To 135, it should be.
Yes.
Yeah, 135. And paragraph 17. And so if we had time, we might have time to look at this whole I don't think we will, but the whole lesson. This is, if I defend myself, I am attacked. This is the longest lesson in the workbook, pages and paragraph-wise. It has so much in it. I mean, I don't know. It's like Jesus says, well, put all my extra stuff in this lesson. I mean, it really has multiple teachings in here. It's just a wonderful, thick lesson. But we'll come back to it if we have time, because it's really fun to go through it. It'll bring up so much. There's so much teaching in here. But for now, let's just zoom forward to paragraph 17, and that's the middle of this lesson. Good Lord, this is a long lesson, isn't it?
It took me a month.
Yeah. Yeah. Ross, when you get there, I got your mute. When you get there, would you read for us paragraph 17? Let's learn about defenses as A Course in Miracles sees the burden ego puts on us.
Defenses are the plans you undertake to make against the truth. Their aim is to select what you approve and disregard what you consider incompatible with your beliefs of your reality. Yet what remains is meaningless indeed, for it is your reality that is the threat which your defenses would attack, obscure and take apart and crucify.
And remember, the only reality you have is that you're love. So it's just incompatible. It's incompatible with egos and arguing and let's continue. Yeah. Tim, are you there? Are you on that lesson? I got your mute. Would you read for us paragraph 18?
No, I'm not on a lesson at the moment. Go ahead.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Kenny, you want to try read tonight? I say try. Maybe a little more confident. Kenny, read tonight.
Thank you.
You have to unmute yourself, though, if you're going to read. No, you still got to. I can't control it. You still have to unmute yourself.
There.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. What could you not accept if you but know that everything that happens, all events, past, present, and to come, are gently planned by one whose only purpose is your goal? Perhaps you have misunderstood his plan, for he would never offer pain to you. But your defenses did not let you see his loving blessing, since in every step
Shine.
You ever took, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty close.
While you make plans for death, he led you gently to eternal life.
This is what the Holy Spirit has been doing all along. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Your still small voice in you is making plans for eternal life. Yeah. Ego is planning on, each time it tries to defend, it's just defending from death, from some loss of some sort. This is a beautiful paragraph, isn't it? It's another hint on what it's like to use your right mind, to trust your right mind, to do A Course in Miracles, surrender your ego, and have your Holy Spirit or right-minded thinking carry you forward. What are we talking about? What could you not accept in this world? Life, death, divorce, more money, less money, dead flowers, live flowers, paint peeling, paint lasting longer than you thought. What could you not accept if you but knew that everything that happens, all events, past events, present events, events to come, are gently planned by the capital letters? The Holy Spirit, which is the right mind, which is right there with you, even as you dream with the wrong mind. You see how close is right-mindedness, even when you are using the wrong mind for attack, for hate, for doubt, for self-worth, who knows what you're doing with your ego at the time.
Well, Andrew, I hire contractors. I hired a guy today to check out my fireplace so I know that it works. But I'm not ready to ask for help with me.
Mm. Oh, you hired the contractor, no problem. You want some nice warmth? Bucks. You don't want to burn the house down? You're clear on that?
Right. Yeah, oh yeah. But to get help for myself, my inner self.
Wow. But for happiness.
I haven't made the agreement yet.
You know what, Kenny? I disagree with you.
Well, wait a minute. This is my thought. Please.
Okay. I hear you. I do know what you're saying.
Yep, Kenny, only you know. Only you know about your own resistance.
So here's the part that of defenselessness, defense. I'm right in the middle of it.
Whoops, you managed to mute yourself somehow. I'm not sure how you did that.
I'm right in the middle of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Can you feel it?
Thinking I need to defend.
Yeah.
It's.
And then what's the quality of that? What's of those thoughts? You know, how does that, what's it feel like? What's the challenge?
Oh, yeah. It hurts bad. It hurts. Yeah. It hurts really. Mm. Yeah. It hurts. Yeah.
Yeah. And yet it seems like a good idea because then you won't lose, right?
Yeah, if you can push people away or run away from the world, yeah, it pretty well takes care of it for a while until I recover again to a point, but not all the way, not the last step.
Yeah.
I don't accept God.
Yeah.
I lost it along the way.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. You can't run away from short-term relationships. You can run away. And it seems to work. But there's a long-term relationship that you have with yourself and with God that you can't run away from. Mm-hmm. It keeps coming back.
Yeah.
And part of it comes with the surrender that Tim was talking about. You know, it's just one of the ways to get there is that realize.
There must be times when I recognize a fleeting moment.
Yes.
When I
moment of surrender?
It. Yeah.
It's kind of, I like to call it this way. I like to say it this way. Gently overwhelming.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Those quiet moments where you're vulnerable. Mm-hmm. It's also a miracle because you're having a shift in perception about what's really going on and that there's more and larger perspective, circumstance. In your own life. And you're part of that. It's very personal. It's very personal. No one can write a poem or a book or a description or a song or anything about your own, I don't know, maybe that's the humility Corson talks about. Where you just recognize that there's more going on than your little life. And it's beautiful and it's gentle. That's our next word. If we get there, that'll be kind of nice. Well, no, we already did gentleness, but we'll do generosity, same vein. The generosity that is surrounding you with your own life, sometimes you become aware of that and it can really be a beautiful awakening moment. Ross, what do you got?
Well, you know, you're talking about how personal it is and that type of thing. I mean, a lot of times it occurs to me, I mean, even in this meeting, I'm essentially talking to myself. There's nobody out there. So why get all excited, you know, if I'm like, you know, I have a 25-year-old coworker and I told her what a whack job I am and how I think about this oneness. And at the end of it, I said, well, you know, two things. One is find out for yourself, experience it for yourself. Don't listen to me. And the other is I'm not trying to convince you, because if what I say is true, talking to you is only talking to myself. So what in the world am I doing trying to convince anybody of anything if the only person out there is me?
That's it. Now can I borrow $20 from myself? I'm sure to pay you back. You know I will. Oh, very good, Ross. Absolutely. Again and again and again, you have to follow those thoughts like you did and share them with us like you did. We're closing the circle of understanding. One little miracle at a time. One, that's forgiveness. You already know that truth, but then you actually went through it and you forgave. You forgave it again. Beautiful, beautiful. It's good. What could you not accept if you but knew that everything that happens, all events, past, present, and to come, are gently planned by one whose only purpose is your good? Meaning Jesus is saying, hello, McFly, if you could just get this through your head, you would celebrate with me. But I get it. You're too stuck with your body and everything else. So let's work on your defenses. Perhaps you have misunderstood the Holy Spirit's plan. For he would never offer pain to you. But your defenses did not let you see his loving blessing shine in every step that you ever took. Lesson, I don't know, it's 193 and then somewhere like 191 talks about everything is for your good, no matter what it looks like. And the sooner you forgive your stinking thoughts about it, the more you can receive the love that's buried there. I'm paraphrasing in my own mind, of course, but they're just amazing lessons. Okay. Let's read one more paragraph. Jacqueline. Yeah. I got your mute. Go ahead.
Oh, good. Thanks. Everything for our good. So it's like the things that happen to us that could be really awful. I mean,
yes,
it's for our good because it's like hitting us upside the head with a 2x4. So we'll wake up. I don't know. So it's like we're going to finally say, okay, enough is enough. Something like that. That's why it's for our good.
Tell me. I think you're right on it, but you want to try a little harder to put some better words on it?
Well, I'm kind of asking about it because I'm.
Oh, all right.
I was thinking about okay, if it's all everything's for our own good.
Everything. When A Course in Miracles says everything, it means everything. So you're right. You're right to ask this question.
So,
how's that work?
Well, we're all, like all of us here, are saying, okay, enough is enough. I want another way. There must be a better way. And so everything that led up to that, you know, could include all the suffering or the everything. So in a way, I guess that's how it's for our own good.
That's correct. That's correct. You so believe in the world of separation that when something bad happens, not only do you think it's bad, but you also think it's happening to you. And you also think that somehow you've lost because of it and you're smaller or harmed or damaged because of this thing that happened. Now, here's where it's for your good. In the hands of the ego, it's a disaster. In fact, you should hire a lawyer right away and get somehow paid for this. If it's that bad, somebody else did it and they're guilty. Says the ego. But the pain is just proven. Loss is proven in the world. How is it that it could be for your good? And here's how it can be and is for your good. You said it. I'll show you a sentence in the book in a moment on page 243 in the text. That's just, Jesus goes right at it. But essentially, this is it, is that thing, the worse something is, the worse it is, the closer you're getting to see the absurdity of it and saying there must be a better way. Because as bad as this is, I'm still calling for good. even if somebody commits suicide over this horrible event that was so absolutely destructive in their life, they committed suicide because they couldn't tolerate the ugliness. Why? Because they prefer beauty and ease and love and comfort and a chance to be free. Do you see? So you're absolutely right. You got it. Let's go see how Jesus phrases it in a very few words. It's almost insulting. It's so powerful. I love it. What do you got? Everybody, while Luann is warming us up, go to page 243 in the text. Yes, Luann.
I got divorced. My husband asked for a divorce, and I was seeing a therapist, and he was having an affair, so he wanted to marry somebody else. And after I got through 2 years, about 1 year of therapy about this, and I'd already had a therapist. I had a support system for this divorce like I've never heard another woman had. But after about a year, what I used to say, and I've been saying ever since, is my husband did 4 good things for me. He married me and gave me a fairly easy life. He gave me 2 wonderful children, and he divorced me. My therapist said, I've never had a client who had a marriage like yours that never even thought of getting divorced. So that means I would have lived with that man for I don't know how much longer if he hadn't taken that step.
Yeah.
That pushed me right into becoming a therapist.
Sounds pretty healthy acceptance. Yeah. Look at page 243. And let's have Jesus weigh in.
What you're saying.
Yeah, let's have Jesus weigh in on how something horrible is actually for your good if you will follow the Holy Spirit's guidance through it, not the ego. That's, I have to insert that. But it goes without saying because we're studying A Course in Miracles. Not supposed to be following your ego. That's the trouble got you in all this trouble. Are you ready?
Well, before that awareness, though, you know, you have no idea.
You have no idea.
So I'm just considering that perspective, which much of the world is probably, you know, or I guess it's all in my mind, but anyway, somehow I'm having a glitch right there. You know, we are hearing this other perspective, which can assist us in making that shift.
Yes.
In our thinking, but before that, I mean.
Do you feel compassion in your heart, Jacqueline?
Yes, I do have compassion. Yeah, I just today, you know, I was thinking, I just feel very lucky that I'm reading this and thinking about this in this way. And you know, I still am affected, but not as much. It's lessening, and, you know, I think eventually I'll be free.
You will be free. Mm-hmm. This path has begun. The light is in you. The light has come. And nothing can take you off this path. The awakening begins this way and it does not end.
So before that point of awareness, the good is that if you just get so miserable, you say there must be a better way. That's the only good I can see in it.
Well, you did say there must be a better way and not just suicide or try to make a better way in the world. There's a huge difference here. There's lots of options.
Because you're still lost in life. You're still lost in it.
You could have panicked, got in it deeper, got remarried or married again, and you could have gone through the lawsuit route. You could have gone through continued. I know somebody who has 6 degrees, 1 PhD, and the others are all bachelor's of science degrees because education is her hope. At least it was. I think she's woken from that. But it was like passionately. It's like more, 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 better, 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 more. Think. We learn more. Learn. And that, yeah.
Other words, she thought understanding would give her peace.
Yes, Ross. What do you got?
So I guess for me, what I have to keep in mind is who. Who is the you? Who is the me that these bad things are happening to? If I identify with the Ross character, well, yeah, it's tragic. But if I, you know, just quote my little toolbox tool, I am not a body. I am free. I am still as God created me. Well, then I'm not a body. And so anything that happens to the Ross character, the body of the Ross character, is kind of, well, it's not preferable that, you know, he cuts his hand off with the chainsaw or whatnot, or whatever horrible thing is happening at the moment. Mm-hmm. But somehow I have to keep it in perspective that it's not the true me. That's not the you that we're talking about. If that's the case, then of course there's all sorts of bad things that can happen to the you, the me, that's the Ross character. And eventually it will die.
Ross's word is perspective.
Yeah.
That's an entire teaching, that one word. Course in Miracles says it this way. It says from which the couple ways. One way is the father of your thoughts, the source of your thoughts. From which source does your thinking come? From the separate struggling ego, that's one perspective, or from the eternal. The eternal, that's another perspective. And if you say, wait a minute, whatever I actually am, according to Course in Miracles, is eternal. And so this little problem lasts how long? What? That is room for a miracle right there, Ross. I love it. Perspective. Absolutely. Same for what Kenny was talking about. Kenny was really knocking on the same door, perspective door, when he said, you know, I haven't fully accepted God. And he knows there's another perspective. It's not the fragile body's agenda. He knows. And every once in a while he gets a glimpse of the peaceful power of the perspective of eternity or oneness or love. See, the perspective of love is so crazy. That's why it doesn't work in the ego. You know what the perspective of love is? This is a quote. It gives and only gives. Oh. Doesn't fit in the material world. All right, you ready for this crazy sentence where Jesus goes right to the heart? How something bad is good. For your good. The worse the better. The worse the better, Jesus says. It's you're like, what? Please, no. Look, look, page 243. Let's have, we're back up to Luann. Luann, read for us this paragraph that I know is highlighted in your book because we've been there many a time.
You talking about paragraph 5?
Paragraph 4, you have built your whole insane belief system because you think that you would be helpless in God's presence.
And you would save yourself from his love because you think it would crush you into nothingness.
Are you paying attention, Kenny? You on this page? 243?
I am there.
This one's
I'm
for you, my friend.
Sentence 4.
This one is, yes, this is for you, my friend. Please, Luann, go ahead.
Okay. I'm going to start over. You have built your whole insane belief system because you think you would be helpless in God's presence. And you would save yourself from his love because you think it would crush you into nothingness. You are afraid it would sweep you away from yourself and make you little because you believe that magnitude lies in defiance.
Magnitude lies in defiance. That's how you get big and strong.
And that attack is grandeur.
Proving you have power and worth and an opinion. I'll attack to prove my ideas and my little separate. Yeah, go ahead, Luann.
You think you have made a world God would destroy. And by loving him, which you do, you would throw this world away, which you would. Therefore, you have used the world to cover your love. And the deeper you go into the blackness of the ego's foundation, the closer you come to the love that is hidden there. And it is this that frightens you.
There it is.
So in that last sentence, love is capitalized.
Mm-hmm.
And I can use love, but the God part, I need to substitute or add it to love to God, Holy Spirit. When I can do that, the closer I come to love that is hidden there. It's hidden, yeah. That's I like that phrase, yeah.
Yeah. It's hidden in the darkness.
And we know it's there.
We know it's there.
Yeah.
You know how we know it's there? Because it's everywhere.
Hmm.
There's no place it is not.
Yeah.
The Course also says it this way. There's no place where God ends and you begin. Isn't that the most beautiful thing you've ever heard? There's no place where God ends and you begin. Relax. Relax. Nothing real can be threatened. Nothing unreal exists. Therefore, everything that's real.
If you think about it, well, the way I think about it is we're an extension of God. So
that's it.
So if we're an extension of God and God is love, mm-hmm. that's why I believe God is love and creation.
Mm-hmm.
The energy of love and creation, then there is no end to love and there's no end to us.
That's it.
As love. And I think that's why God, that's why the book says that love needs love. Love needs us to know that we are love as God.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because otherwise, God's not really God.
Mm-hmm. Jacqueline, come back. You ready? Okay.
What happened to Jacqueline?
No, we scared her off.
Oh, I don't think so.
Yes. It's all love. And it. Please, Jacqueline, go ahead.
Sorry, I keep getting up. I have a restless doggy. And if I don't take care of her, I might have to clean something up.
I got it.
Okay. So I know I'm kind of hammering away at this, but
good.
So if nothing here, I mean, there's no levels of anything here. So there's really no good or bad. So I don't, so how can something be for our good here in the illusion if it's nothing? Does that make?
Absolutely. It's what's good about it is that it shows us the illusion.
Takes us to want to learn that it's illusion.
You still have to learn. If you still see the illusion as material or harmful or existing outside your mind, then what you need is a miracle. You need to shift in perception, and it's waiting for you. So when you take the thought that you're having, which is a feeling more than a thought, a knowing more than a thought, you've arrived, my dear. The light has come, and now the miracle has happened. But it may take a long, long time with much, much forgiveness mm-hmm. for you to let go of the habitual small thinking. But you'll do it because every time you do, and you've shared it with us several times, you feel more free. You feel more eternal. You feel more the capacity to love and to understand. The little compassion comes in. I mean, this is a beautiful trip from here on out. The vigilance now is your task to stay on watch for the habits of the ego and do not follow them. You may starve them out now. You already understand that there is a bigger picture. You understand the presence of love is stronger than the presence of loss, the threat of loss. Even though loss can feel so real, love now feels more real. I hope that's true for you. If it isn't, you just drop into your meditation and call on it.
Can I ask a
question? Light has come. Yes, Luann.
So I hope I don't forget. Okay. When there is loss, huge loss,
mm-hmm.
The only way I can explain it, and I don't know if it's the right way, is to say if there's a huge loss, that means there's an emptiness of what was there that you lost. And what's left is love. Underneath that emptiness is love. Mm-hmm. Or in that emptiness is love, I should say. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that makes sense or not, but that's...
Well, I mean, you're talking about Miracle Principle 1 and 2, and it'll correct your word huge. So let's we can flip off of this page now. Go to the front of the book, at page 3. And look at number 1 and number 2. You there, Tim? Let me get your mute. Can you read those two for us? I got your mute.
There is no order of difficulty in miracles. One is not harder or bigger than another. They are all the same. All expressions of love are maximum.
That is a sobering statement. It's how A Course in Miracles begins with its teaching. It is a instant relief for anybody who has been seeking for a reconciliation with the Absolute, which I think is everybody on a spiritual path.
With this one sentence, all fear disappears. That's it. I can close the book now.
That's it. You can.
The goal of the course is the achieving of the state of peace.
Yep.
Fear is gone.
Yep. And were you to not move away from that awakening, you're done. You derive all of the rest of every healing thought you would need. What automatically come, which is where I'm calling Jacqueline to go, is to hang on to this awareness of oneness and of love that is more powerful than the fear of smallness and loss.
Doesn't that explain all those early lessons about why they say don't make a difference between a hard loss a big loss or a little loss?
Yeah.
Because what's left is only love, no matter how small or how large.
Yeah, once you get rid of the idea of differences and you look for the sameness, no small feat. But as you know, I think Ross can chime in on this one. He's like recognizing this whole dream is made up of the same stuff. It's the same if it's a big problem. It's the same if it's a small problem. This is all an illusion of a separate existence done with one mind, a mind of oneness. Going to appear as many, and that's not a problem unless you take it seriously. And as an identity. This is the healing you're called to make. But there's more. Look at number 2. Tim, read for us number 2.
Miracles as such do not matter. The only thing that matters is their source, capital S, which is far beyond evaluation.
That kind of thing makes me wonder, what more is this book going to say?
I have a question for you. Miracles are a perception, and so as such are not a level 1 event, right? They're something of the world, because it's only in the world that miracles are needed.
Amen, brother.
Right?
So, amen.
And then we say the same about forgiveness then.
Yep. Correct. Yeah, there's no forgiveness in heaven. There are no miracles in heaven.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. It's very practical. This book is very practical. It does not leave the level where you think you are. Look at page 18. We're going to get too distracted by this. We'll get a little distracted by this because we haven't done this in such a long time. Look at paragraph 5 on page 18.
The one that I've underlined the whole thing.
I hope so. Ross, I got your mute. Would you read that paragraph for us?
Whatever lies you may believe are of no wait. Whatever. I got the wrong.
Yeah. You got it now.
Whatever lies you may believe are of no concern to the miracle, which can heal any of them with equal ease. It makes no distinctions among misperceptions. Its sole concern is to distinguish between truth on the one hand and error on the other. Some miracles may seem to be of greater magnitude than others, but remember the first principle in this course. There is no order of difficulty in miracles. In reality, you are perfectly unaffected by all expressions of lack of love. These can be from yourself and others, from yourself to others, or from others to you. Peace is an attribute in you. You cannot find it outside. Illness is some form of external searching. Health is eternal. Health is inner peace. It enables you to remain unshaken by lack of love from without and capable, through your acceptance of miracles, of correcting the conditions proceeding from lack of love in others.
Nice. Very motivating paragraph for me. I can do this and it's worth doing. I want it. I want this level of healing. Level of healing. Just for kicks. Ross, read for us Miracle Principle 24 real quick, and then we'll get back to the manual for teachers.
It kind of boils it down there to everything that, almost everything you see except your thoughts of love and kindness are just lacks of love.
That is it. And that is it. Every once in a while, the reflection of love comes through. Love and kindness, that's right.
Mm-hmm. And the Holy Spirit saves those things for you as you're creations when you're ready to have them.
Yes.
Which principle?
Number 24.
24. Miracles enable you to heal the sick and raise the dead because you made sickness and death yourself and can therefore abolish both. You are a miracle capable of creating in the likeness of your creator. Everything else is your own nightmare and does not exist. Only the creations of light are real.
Amen. Good. Okay, let's get back to page 14 in the manual for teachers. God's teachers have learned how to be simple. The ego, that means the ego has been teaching you how to be complex and chaotic. Sentence number two. God's teachers have no dreams that need defense against the truth. Remember, the truth is your love, right? And that you share all of the valuable attributes with whatever you're dealing with. And the non-valuable attributes of whatever you're dealing with can just be let go or released.
I don't know where you are.
We're on page 14 in the back of the book, Manual for Teachers.
Well, that's where I am, but I don't know where you're reading.
Top of the page, sentence number
one. Okay.
Yeah, two and three now. Now, three. They do not try to make themselves. Isn't that ego busted? There's the authority problem. You're trying to make yourself, rather than receive and accept the beauty that is already you. This light that is in you that would really rather listen before you speak when somebody else has got a hot head. But no, your ego says, I better speak and just shut them down. Maybe something like that. It's just the ego being full of defense. But the love in you says, I think I'd rather do this a peaceful way. It's really better for all involved. Like when you learn martial arts, you run in with a hot head of steam throwing your fists around. If the other person is paying attention, they already see what you're trying to do, and it's too late for you. They will have picked their spot and you're on the ground. But if you approach your opponent peacefully, showing no sign of defense or attack, all your options are open, including running.
I was going to say, you may find a way not to fight.
And that's right.
The odds of walking away with everything intact are at 100%.
You
and
may
we're never
find...
going to get any better than that at any point, no matter your skill level.
Nice. Nice. Nicely said. And if you're in a corner and you can't run, right, and you're outmatched, this often happens when you get yourself in an argument in the kitchen with your loved one. You're in a corner because, you know, you can't run. And you're outmatched because you didn't even know you were in a fight. You didn't even know there was a problem. And they're all upset with you because you did it again. You know, we talked about this. Talked about it last month. Talked about it last week. We talked about it when your mother was here. And you still did it. You don't even know what it is yet, do you? Do not defend yourself. Do not come up with a bunch of energy and say, well, what about you? You know, much better to stay at peace, open-minded, defenseless. Defenselessness is going to be your power, your superpower in this situation. The ego says, because of the tone of voice, you need to start defending. You don't even know why. In fact, you'll probably find your muscles contracting and all sorts of things will automatically happen when you find yourself in a fight.
May I ask
a
question about the qualities? As I'm scanning defenselessness and then looking at all 10 qualities, I had said it a little while ago when we were doing the miracles, miracles are level 2. They don't exist outside of the world and perception where there's a need for them. Trust, honesty, tolerance, gentleness, yada, yada, all the way to open-mindedness. Those things are level 1 quality, are they not?
They're ways to manage in here, in this world. They are all qualities that are ways to live or be in relationship. They are not required by the Holy Spirit. They are default. They are right-mindedness.
Well, the acid test in my mind is, would these be qualities that I would assign in creating my version of what God is for me at this time, as best I'm able to imagine that.
It's what would God do? Because you are.
Would God trust? Would God be trusting? Would God be defenseless? Well, of course, God is defenseless. God doesn't need.
What would God do if God was playing Timothy Day for a day in his kitchen with his wife?
Yeah.
This is what this is for. These 10 things that you're looking at are the attributes of love here in your skin. You who believe you are a body, and yet you would like to come back to awareness of not being a body. The journey you must take comes from releasing the ego. And these are antidotes. These are pills. Each one is opposing. Each one is fighting words for the ego. Let me just go through that for a minute. The ego doesn't trust. Are you kidding? Trust after they've proven themselves and you have a plan B. Then you can trust, says the ego. Honest? You kidding? If the ego honest, it loses its bargaining power. ego can't be honest. It's too vulnerable. You might get found out, says the ego. So the ego can't be honest. Tolerant, says the ego. If I'm tolerant, then I'll lose my own specialness and, in fact, my righteousness. I can't be tolerant of something that doesn't deserve to exist, or is it, or aberrant behavior, or is the wrong political thing, or is too not vegetarian enough, or whatever. You see, these 10 characteristics are fighting words for the ego, but they are a guide for how to bring love, how to bring the reflection of love here into your chosen existence.
The ego can imagine that there is a higher way than what the ego currently experiences as itself as real. That's, if I remember bopping around to the early part of the course, that's the highest thing that the ego is said to be capable of thinking, if you will, is that there must be a better way.
That's correct. That's correct.
Yeah.
The self, small s self, that you imagine yourself to be,
right,
that has disconnected itself from the awareness of oneness, can still go back up the staircase that it came down. That is correct. Why? How? Very simply, because it is in mind, and Holy Spirit is in mind, and there's only one mind. You have bifurcated it. You've made a little root shoot and followed off into separation what is still connected to oneness. That's how it is.
So these strike me as things that are pushing the boundary between that level one, level two. We're walking,
right,
getting into rarefied air now.
That's right.
When we're working on this, which is why I'm sure it's in the manual for teachers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
But thank God, thank goodness, there still is a bridge available between where you find yourself and the truth that you are imagining.
And the Holy Spirit itself, where does it fall? It's also level two. We're walking that fine line again.
The Holy Spirit loses his job when you enter heaven.
When you enter heaven, yeah. Okay.
What is heaven? Heaven is understanding. Heaven is awakening.
No longer needed.
Correct. No job. No need. You got it. You got it, Tim. Beautiful. Ross, what do you got?
But I just think of it as being. You know, beingness or being. That's where we're going to go. Because you're changeless and eternal, so you're just being. Okay, creating, I guess, is the word that the Course uses. But, you know, it's, you're just hanging out, not really doing much.
Well, that's where I might offer a correction.
Sure.
You would never stop doing. You get to being, but the tree does not revert back to a seed.
Perfection is not stasis.
It is not stasis. Creation has existed. Life is an extension of God. Living is a manifestation of life, and you are a manifestation of living, okay? You don't put the genie back in the bottle, but what you do is you allow your mind. Not many people do this. Not many people in the world want to even do the spiritual thing, but you do. And so I suggest, because this is my experience, I think this is, you and I are walking together, and this is where you're going. You're going where I'm going. We're all in the same place. And that is, you are coming to an awareness of being in the world enough, but not of the world. This being that you're pointing at, you become aware as a logical branch offshoot of God. that allowed you to find yourself in this miserable existence as Andrew or Ross. And you will learn to love it. You learn to love every step along the way, because it's all a gift, all a manifestation of first life and then as living. It's all fantastic. But the power that you're gaining now is to be able to continue in this manifestation without fear, with an understanding of whence you came, being indeed. But you will never stop. You are God's laughter. God does not laugh without you. You are God's relationship. God has no relationships without you. You are God's very happiness. God is not happy without you. This is the reconciliation of your doing, your existence, and the non-doingness of being, which is, I think, where your mind rightfully went. I want to encourage that, of course. But I want to also put a little asterisk there, that the tree does not go back to being a seed.
I guess, you know, what I would say is, what I will be doing as purely identified as the eternal and unchangeable is not conceivable to me right now.
Yes. Right. That's correct. Trying to propose that is
up with his being.
Very good. Very good. Yeah. Yeah. But it's a, but I love that you're allowing your mind to go there, because it will help give you the perspective. That's Ross's word tonight. The perspective that you need to let go of the little of the small thinking that's in your way. So definitely have a meditation on beingness and go as far as you can. 100%, Ross. Absolutely.
Being unchangeable and eternal with nothing else, with
must be true.
What does that look like?
Well, yes, and can you do? And if it's true, that means that you can undo the with mind, because it's all in mind. You can undo the blocks or the of the awareness of this reality. That's a masterful. It's a masterful pursuit, but because mind is all connected, you are fully capable of doing it. I just noticed Jason's wearing a helmet in our Course in Miracles meeting.
It's dangerous in here.
This is more radical than I thought.
Your mind could explode.
He's trying to hold it all together. Oh, all right. Any more time? Next sentence. All right. Here you go. Number four. Their joy comes from their key word, understanding. This is a word that encapsulates your path, understanding. That you would own that you actually are an extension of love, and that's what you prefer. That's understanding. Leads you straight to heaven. Their joy comes from their understanding, capital letters. Who created them? You don't try to make yourself anymore. As Ross has been telling us, is not this body. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing to surrender to your source. And of course, does what God created need defense? You as being as an extension of being, which is an extension of all that is, as a narrowing of all that is into being. And from being, which doesn't do anything, there arises spirit. Spirit is a further extension of God through being. But now spirit takes on a type of energy, a type of focus that being does not have, that God cannot have without being. But being becomes, and then spirit comes. What is it a spirit of? It's a spirit of love. It's a spirit of a self reflection on being. Spirit continues. And then spirit takes on something a little further extension we call mind. Because spirit doesn't do anything. Spirit doesn't think anything. Mind. Now we can think. Do you see? And this progression continues. Because then the mind continues. And I won't take us further down this path, but I wrote it out for you once and sent it to you all. But this is the staircase that has given me a perspective of everything. It was my theory of everything, spiritual. Okay, their joy comes from their understanding who created them. And does what God created need defense? Well, of course not. No one can become an advanced teacher of God until he fully understands that defenses are but foolish guardians of mad illusions. The more grotesque the dream, the fiercer and more powerful its defenses seem to be. That is so true. The further you follow the ego, the more ego tools and defenses and clever thoughts you use to make yourself safe in a world that's so dangerous. The further you get following the ego, the more deeper you get into the illusion and the ego, the world of the ego, which makes a really great game. Would you agree? It makes a great game. When you get in, everybody here play chess? Anybody here play chess?
Chess? A little bit.
There's not a whole lot of games like chess that I can think of without going in like video games and stuff, which I don't know. But chess starts out really simple because everything's lined up and in its place. And then you start to move the pieces and it gets more complex. And then you lose one of your pieces. You didn't see that you were going to lose, but then you take one of the other guy's pieces and you a wonderful cacophony of complexity unfolds. On purpose, the more grotesque the dream, or the more pieces on the chessboard, the more squares, the more you see that what you could do or you should have done, the fiercer, more powerful its defenses seem to be. When you start to learn chess and know that there's ways to keep your pieces, there's where defenses and you can back up the pieces and all, the game actually gets a little more difficult because you know how not to lose. But in chess, when it's your turn, you must move. You must. You can't stay static. And so your mind goes into grotesque maneuvers to try to save your bishop or whatever, your rook. And the other guy's all set up with no stress because he knows he's got you. And you have to let
go. I lost a check with chess one time after two moves.
Yeah, really?
I thought, oh my God, I lost in two moves.
Woo! Oh, okay. Yet when the teacher of God finally agrees to look past these grotesque defenses, this happened to me with chess. I had a buddy I used to work with at a high-tech company, and he was ranked as a sixth board, whatever that means, San Jose State. He was really good at chess. And he wanted to play. We would play. And I lost every time. I won twice by freak accident, but I would just lose. He was so good. I loved the game. And I began to stop. I did my best to give him a good game, but I was going to lose. I was going to lose before we started. And, you know, my ego really had to step aside. I had to stop defending Andrew. I would defend my pieces and my positions, but I really had to let my ego go during those games, and didn't mean I was less of a person, and who cares if I was, this is just chess. This is a chess. I wanted to win. I wanted to win. I wanted to beat him. I love it. I love winning. But I was not going to beat Craig at chess. That's silly. Oh, it's embarrassing how many games it took me to really go through without scratching my head and hiding my nervousness.
Variation.
Yeah, I mean, I thought I could win. I even thought I had a good idea. You know, I didn't. Yeah. But it was helpful for me because I just slowly let the ego go. And I could really enjoy the game just as the game. It's a really cool game. So that's sentence 8. Yet when a teacher of God finally agrees to look past these defenses, he finds that nothing was there. There wasn't really a threat. That's why if we had time, we don't. We would go to lesson 135 and it says, if I defend myself, then I'm attacked. I love that. So even the lesson title, right? If you defend yourself, even if nobody is attacking you, you are attacked. You're holding up your shield. You're putting up your defenses. You're preparing for loss. If you defend yourself, you are attacked, even if nobody is attacking you. Oh, don't you love it? Oh.
I've always found the best way to not lose to my daughter is to not argue with her.
That is a good approach, Luann. Yes, that is a good approach. Okay, so it's not danger that comes when defenses are laid down, folks. It's safety. It's peace. It's joy. And it is God. It doesn't mean you're a doormat, okay? You're still going to live your life and do things that, you know, will maintain a sense of fairness in your relationships. But attack doesn't make it more fair. Attack doesn't make things go your way. You'll define that saying your truth once in your relationships and then working to hear the other person works much better. You'll find that this is cleaner and more loving. If you were to be defense, have no use for defenses, seek to understand before being understood. This is a loving gesture, but you'll be understood. I'm not saying you back off and be a doormat. That's no fun. In fact, it's not fair to the other side because you're hiding something now. No, that's not suggesting at all that you hide like that. But no more attack, no more defense. It's really great, isn't it? What a great principle of love. How to be loving in this world. Have no use for defense. Isn't that great concept? Okay, thank you. Thank you for studying A Course in Miracles with me tonight on another one of these wonderful gifts from Jesus in A Course in Miracles. So let's do it again next week. Thanks, everybody.